right, so for our reviews of Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, and Justice League Unlimited on Three Old Geeks Unlimited, we are at the Avengers episode Kang Dynasty, which debuted on January 23rd, 2011, directed by Sebastian Montez, written by Brian Reed, and this is part three of the Kang trilogy, if you will. So,
Really well done.
Yeah. Really well done. So basically, they have sort of repulsed Kang's invasion of the Earth, and they've kind of figured out where he is, so they're going to take the fight to him. So, gentlemen, what was the goods coming out of this one?
I enjoyed the way that they thinned out the Ultron herd to just get to the one.
And it's Ultron 5.
And it's Ultron 5. I've got Ultron scream. When he gets cut in half, he actually yells.
Oh.
Ah!
I like that.
I miss that.
And then fucking Herbie. Fucking Herbie shows up.
That's a little bit lower down on my list.
But they made it very obvious.
Yes.
It
was, oh, no. He was like the central shot. Yeah.
That was funny. So those were my goods.
All right. Rich, what do you got for a goods?
I just, you know, I think this is my favorite version of the Hulk. I like the way they do the Hulk. I like the way they do all the Avengers, especially Hawkeye. I just think he's great in this. But the thing I really liked was the fight scene with the Elite Guard and the Avengers. I thought it was just cool.
Yeah, and was that an addition just for the cartoon, or did Kang like have an Elite Guard? Like,
no,
I don't remember
that. That was an addition just for the cartoon.
Okay, because yeah, it was cool. It was like Avenger or Thanos's Black Order or whatever. Right. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. One of my goods is I love the way Hawkeye like did the flash arrow to stop him.
Yes.
Otherwise, they'd be getting their ass kicked still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because you can't time travel when you can't see.
No, you can run into something.
All right, what else you got?
That was about it.
All right. Well, I agree with what everybody else has mentioned, and I will mention, because this goes against my bad, I really dug the red and silver
costumes, the space suits?
No, the red and silver Iron Man armor. I thought that was kind of a neat throwback to the
Centurion.
The Rhodey wore for a little bit in like the late 80s, early 90s, I think. And I always thought that was like was a malign one, and I always thought it was cool looking or whatever. All right. So what were the bads coming out of this one?
I really dislike the custom spacesuits. I really dislike that they had to have Captain America with a big A and a star on his chest. I did like that Hulk was just a face mask.
Yeah,
that was funny. But you know what? And I think, Lance, you've mentioned this before with the colors of the superhero costumes, so you don't mix them up visually. There were points in the episode where they would show like an arm, and I didn't know what character it was. And then there'd be another one, and you were like, okay, which one? And until they panned up, I didn't know who was what.
Yeah, and that's actually my bad. They did this kind of with Gamma World a little bit, where they had him in like the biohazard suits or whatever, and they did the same thing here. And to me, that's like, well, we can get another line of action figures out of this. You know, I call it the quote unquote toyetic Avengers or whatever.
Did they even have action figures? For
no,
the
they didn't.
No.
They had McDonald's Happy Meal figures or something like that, but they never got to the point.
Also, where are all the other heroes? I always hate that. Is just where are all the other heroes?
Yeah, this one they brought in Black Knight in the last episode. They kind of had a cameo with him, and then they brought in the Fantastic Four in this one.
Right, I know, but you just these kind of big cosmic events where they attack the Earth. The only place they really showed was Wakanda, because we knew Black Panther was there, and he won. But I just...
And that was the thing, like, I kept thinking, like, and this is, like, these are kind of, like, on the nose, maybe a little politically incorrect. Like, they kept showing, like, the Great Pyramid of Giza, and I'm like, oh, maybe Arabian Night will show up on the flying carpet with the Scimitar, or they showed, like, the Great Wall of China. I'm like, oh, maybe they'll have Collective Man or something like that, and it was like, okay.
Byrne was always good in his books at least showing, like, a panel.
Yeah.
He'll have a panel of Spider-Man going, oh, it's way too big for me.
Yeah.
Or he'll be sitting with Daredevil on a rooftop going,
No,
this is too big.
There's a purse robber. Let's go get him.
Yeah, so he'll show, you know, five or six panels of where you see the other heroes and why they didn't get involved.
Yeah.
And I just always, when I see, I just go to that. Okay.
Rich, you have any bads on this one?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Keith, any bads?
I had one. There's a couple shots with Kang where it looks like he has a TV set on his head.
I actually thought that was
the blocked helmet. Wow, they pulled out Armin Zola's thing and put it on top of
the head. Actually thought, like, the way I remember, like, Avengers number 6 is, though, that's the way he looked. And I thought that was a kind of an homage to, like, the his early appearances.
There were times it looked like they were animating,
but it was never
Carmine
the same.
Infantino.
Well, all right. You know, on a previous podcast, you guys had mentioned how Pepper Potts was horribly animated.
Oh, wait.
And I thought the same thing at times with Kang. I thought he looked the best when, at the end of the episode, he doesn't have the armor on, and it's just his face.
That was cool.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that he looks good there, but there are times where he looks so flat.
Yes.
And okay, like, that, yeah, that's a good description. It's just almost like he's
that's
flat.
That's Carmine
yeah.
Infantino.
Yeah.
Always draws people flat.
All right, so what were the nitpicks on this one, boys? What were the huhs?
Why didn't he just fucking kill him? He could have just at any time killed Captain America, and he's got to talk. He's got to talk.
He's a master villain in the Marvel Universe, dude. That's a well-known trope.
How fun would it have been if in episode 1, he would have just went zap, and that would have been it. And then there would have been dust, and everybody going, oh, and then he disappears. And then you go, what the fuck? And history changes. Just kill him. I just kept 3 episodes of just fucking kill him. Fucking kill him.
All you do is go back in time and all of a sudden he's not there.
Yeah. Come up behind him and zap. Done.
You can make that argument on a lot of stories.
I know. But
yeah, but they could have played off it if he would have
gotten
rid of
him. It just kept annoying me that, okay, kill him. No,
the master of time.
No, kill him.
The master of time.
What if? Maybe that'll be one of the episodes of What If.
Oh, what if Kang killed Captain America and Earth's Mightiest Heroes?
Yeah. All right, what do you got for nitpicks there, Rich?
I didn't really have any on this episode.
All right, well, the one that I had is the Kang Scarab robots or whatever seemed like they were taking up entire city block. You know, you get a dozen of them, and they take up an entire city block in New York City, and you fit, like, 40 of them in an enclosed space next to their time reactors. Yeah. I was like, dude, come on. Really? Yeah.
Those were the medium-sized ones.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe they're the mini versions.
The little ones.
These are the home version.
All right, Mr. Nitpick, what do you got for us?
I had nothing.
Wow. You're starting to really disappoint me, dude.
New year, new me.
He's gonna put that on his door there.
He's
comics.
All right. Well, you had already brought it up, Brian, and even though I hated him when I was a kid, because damn it, there was no Human Torch in the 80s or 70s or 80s Fantastic Four cartoon or whatever, just seeing Herbie the Robot was just like, I literally chuckled. I literally laughed when I saw it.
That was Mike Lee, too.
Yeah, I think I wrote fucking Herbie. Jan's More Power Attitude. She's had it
bigger
in the last
stingers,
few, yeah. Bigger stingers. That, yeah. And just every time she gets behind the wheel of something or she gets more of zap, she's the glee.
Yeah, actually, yes. I thought that I've bad-mouthed her and like the, oh, okay, you want in?
Okay.
You know, she pulls the Elwood Blues and like has the ship's chaser into the bulkhead so that opens up.
Yes.
The thing. I thought that was really, really brilliant.
And then to find out, Ultron was designed to look like his head was designed to look like an ant head. I went, okay.
It makes complete sense now.
Yeah. Wow. That was just a wow moment for me. I love that. And fucking Herbie.
Not fucking Herbie.
Not Ultron fucking Herbie. Just, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Although what robots do in the privacy zone.
In Vegas.
I love the Raiders of the Lost Ark nod with Iron Man. I don't know. I'm making this up as I go along.
He says it an awful lot in this series, I think. But yeah, I mean that's a great line.
And then I also like the slow-mo walk to the Quinjet. Because I thought that Avengers...
I totally forgot
about
Avengers that,
Endgame, I think that's... I'm not saying they took it from that cartoon.
They very well could have.
But
the
I was just like, wow, this is just like in Avengers Endgame. And then I love the Wasp with the augmented stinger. She just was like... Oh,
yeah.
This is great.
I need bigger stingers. And then she's in the ship and she's like, bzz, bzz, bzz. Ooh, bigger stingers. Every time they do.
All right, Keith, you got any glee?
Well, the aforementioned Herbie that everyone loved, and also the Ultron 5 was cool. I'm like, oh, it's Ultron 5. That
the only one that's left is Ultron 5.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I actually liked when Jan was losing it, and Iron Man goes, oh, great, just what I need. Crazy wasp or whatever. So, yeah, I chuckled at that. Yeah.
All right, so what was the star rating on this one, boys? 4 for me?
Like 3.5.
4.
4, okay. I'm going to go 3.5 stars, and I'm going to take that across the entire storyline, because I thought for a Kang, I'm never being crazy about Kang. This is another one.
Yes.
This series got me to like Kang. That's our opinion. Let us know what you think. All right, so for Three Old Geeks Unlimited, we are reviewing Avengers, the Earth's Mightiest Heroes, and Justice League Unlimited, and we are at the Justice League Unlimited episode Double Date, which debuted on June 4th, 2005, directed by Joaquin Dos Santos and written by comics stalwart Gail Simone. And this is, boy, a really good Huntress origin piece.
Yes.
With The Question and Black Canary and Green Arrow thrown in for good measure. So this is one of my absolute favorite episodes.
Oh, yeah.
So what were the goods on this one, boys?
Question sliding over when he drives up to pick up Huntress and he slides over into the passenger seat so she can get in and drive. I thought that was so cool. That was so Rat Pack. I just thought that was so cool. And the wicked ass car.
That's way lower on my list. Okay. But
yeah. I love Arrow's voice. Whoever does the voice for Arrow,
Ken Schreiner.
Great. It's just a great voice for him.
It really fits the character. Yeah.
It's not young. It's not. It's got that right amount of gravel.
Yeah.
It's perfect. And I love the ending of this. I just how they tie it together, I thought was cool.
All right, Rich, what did you have for goods?
I love the character variety. I'm not a huge DC person, so I don't have a huge background in it. But when I watch the show, it's a ton of fun to see all these different characters. I also thought that the fight scenes, the choreography, I liked it. I thought it was good.
What'd you have?
I love the developing Black Canary Green Lantern relationship. Green Lantern. Whatever, that guy. And you know, and the question, I wish the question was in every episode.
Yes, I agree.
But that's just.
All right. Well, the I love the Easter egg kind of character, King Agent Faraday. So you had to assume it was King Faraday, which is a good.
They call him King in it.
Do they call him King Faraday? Okay, that's a great Easter egg. And then the telling of Huntress's origin was as well done as you could have done without physically showing her parents, like the way it was all framed and stuff like that. I thought without the actual showing the parents getting killed was absolutely fantastic. All right. So what were the bads on this one, boys?
You know what? I got to bring it up because we always do. They put in a gratuitous canary ass shot.
That's bad?
That's, because that was gratuitous. It didn't need to happen.
Gratuitous?
It was the gratuitous canary ass shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go back to your phone.
I had I just did not like the fact that you have Steven Mandragora, who is this just complete scum slime ball. And then at the end, his kid shows up, and now we have to feel sympathy for him.
Wow.
I was just like, I'm not digging it. I get the whole tie-in with Huntress, but I just thought, no.
Good point. Wow, I never even thought of that before. Because,
weren't feeling sympathy for him.
No.
I never felt sympathy for him. No, I felt sympathy for the child.
Yeah.
Further down my list, I like that. The correlation between her seeing her parents killed and now seeing the little kid poking out in his eye almost in the same way.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Knowing what that's going to do.
It was
to
more
him.
Huntress's change than caring about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Huntress realizing that she's just doing the same thing that was done to her.
Yes. And I liked and I get that's where the tie-in comes.
So,
I didn't have any great feeling for Madripoor.
No, I didn't care for the albino kingpin.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be Tobias Whale. They didn't use him for whatever reason.
I don't know who he is either, but...
Oh, Mr. Comic Shop Owner doesn't know who every supervillain is. God. Keith, jeez.
Tobias Whale. That should roll off the tongue.
You're fucking... Do you have any other bands there, Keith? All right. Well, I had no bads. What were the nitpicks, boys? What were the huzz?
I had none.
I did.
Oh. Mm.
So Huntress has, you know, her little gadget, which shows off all the lasers, and she flips through them like you expect her to. And then she goes through an entire room of stuffed dead animals and a huge bedroom, and there are no traps. There's nothing at all. I was just like, wait a minute, why would you go through...
You're not getting through the first one, so there didn't need to be any in the second.
Yeah, but look at how difficult it was for her to get through the first one.
Her and Catherine Zeta-Jones could have gotten through it, but not too many people other than that.
Parker from Leverage.
Yes.
How they could get through it.
Oh, and I don't think... Do they not teach how to tail in the Justice League? Yeah, follow discreetly. They were right behind. Like, come on.
Not a big...
Come on.
All right, Mr. Nitpick, what do you got?
You know, Mandragora, whatever the fuck his name is.
Mandragora.
Can't be hurt by, like, a bunch of shit falling down from him, but a little arrow's going to stop him.
That's exactly mine.
She's going to kill him with the little...
Because it's pokey.
It can't even make it through his blubberous body.
He takes the full brunt of the canary scream. Yeah, exactly. Blows his clothes off, and she's going to kill him with arrows.
Yes, because arrows are that dangerous, and this is why children shouldn't play with them.
All right, what was the glee on this one, boys?
Oh, King Faraday, just fucking King Faraday.
Really? Okay.
Yes. Oh, I love King Faraday. He's a great character. The Huntress versus Canary fight was just badass. I thought you were a great fighter, and then she just kicks her ass.
Canary puts it into a second gear. Okay, you know.
And the like airline luggage line from the question.
Lose them.
Yeah.
Like airline luggage.
That was great. Those were my glees.
All right. Rich, you have any glee out of this one?
Yes. I loved the voice casting. The question.
Oh, we've sung his praises. Yeah.
Yes. Jeffrey Combs, who also voices Ratchet in the animated series Transformer Prime. He's also the leader in the Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. He was also Milton Dammers from the movie Frighteners.
Yes.
Yes, he was.
And he was also
FBI agent guy. Yeah.
And I couldn't remember who the agent guy was. Yeah. That's who it is.
And that's his voice.
And he's also the lead in Reanimator, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah. And
but just perfect.
The Otho from Beetlejuice is Steven Mandragora.
Oh.
Scott Patterson from Gilmore Girls, which my wife and I are huge fans of, is Agent King Faraday. And then Marina Baccarin is the Black Canary.
Yes, my girlfriend.
And she's Vanessa from Deadpool.
And Amy Acker. Perfect voice. Amy Acker is the Huntress.
Yep. Great voice cast. Love her.
They've always had.
She is just a sweetheart.
They've always had great.
She's just a sweetheart. All right, Keith, what do you got?
Wow, I'm absorbing all the casting. What did I have? Pass. I can't remember.
Well, first of all, the two henchmen for Mandragora's were Paulie Walnuts and, Bobby, I forget his nickname, but they're literally two characters from The Sopranos. You talked about lines, Brian. Don't make me sick for that canary on you. You've only seen her good side. Yeah. I thought that was awesome. But the fucking question drives a 67 GTO. That's his only fucking superpower. I actually got an argument online with a guy. Who cares? He drives a 67 GTO.
Except he doesn't. He lets a woman drive.
That's even hotter, dude.
I'm just saying, there's no way if I had that, would I let anyone else drive it.
I don't think I've been covered by so much misogyny since I was a young man.
This is going to be my last time on this podcast.
I'm just saying, I would not let anyone else drive that. That's all I'm saying. And she drives it down train tracks.
In all honesty, Keith, neither would I.
She drives him down train tracks. That's going to ruin the suspension.
Oh,
Jesus.
And it was a jump. It was a fucking jump that they took. I just kept going, oh!
Exactly.
Thank God this is
And it was a four-speed, damn it. All right, boys. What was the? Do you remember your Glee this time?
I remember my Glee. They mentioned Tommy Monahan, which is the hitman from.
From you're oh dude, that's it is Tommy Monahan.
Garth Ennis is Hitman.
Is Hitman?
Why do I know that? Why would I know that? And it finally sunk in. I'm like, holy shit! They mentioned Hitman, and it was so cool because it's dealing with the mob and everything.
Right.
So yeah, that was my Glee.
All right.
Something got by you, Mr.
Yeah, I'm actually
whoa,
Hitman's
that
one
is
of my.
Shocking.
Yeah,
that is shocking.
Yeah, Hitman is one of
my
favorites.
Now that's my Glee.
All right. So what was the star rating on this one, boys?
Oh, this is easy. A 4.
I agree. 4.
4. One of my favorite episodes of all time. 5 stars.
Ooh.
Let us know what you think.